The following message from Pastor Greg Laurie is made possible by Harvest Partners, helping people everywhere know God. To find out how to know God personally, go to knowgod.org, K-N-O-W, knowgod.org.
Hey, would you do me a favor? Share this message with someone who needs to hear it. What does it mean to walk with God? To walk with God means I'm in harmony with Him. God's the lead singer, you're the backup singer.
Coming up today on A New Beginning, Pastor Greg Laurie reminds us we follow God's leading, not vice versa.
We want to be in front. We want God to back us up. That's not the way it works. To walk with God is not saying, God, here's where I'm going. You come with me. To walk with God is to say, Lord, where are you going? And I want to go with you.
This is the day.
Well, before we begin today's study about walking with God here on A New Beginning, we want to ask you, Pastor Greg, to help us have a more heavenly view of the earthly issues in our world today. Can you help us with that?
Right, Dave. Hey, everybody, the last time I checked, Romans 8:28 is still in the Bible, right? Someone check, quick. I think it's there. And what does it say? It says, all things work together for good to those that love God and are called according to his purpose. But then it goes on to say, for whom God did foreknow, he also did predestined to be conformed into the image of his own dear son. Here's the thing. We're going through a trial in our nation together. We're going through a storm together. And the storm is called COVID-19, also known as the coronavirus. This storm is going to have a beginning, middle, and an end. Where are we in it? We don't know. But we know we're going to get through it, and we know that God can even take this event that we're going through and work it out for our good, ultimately, and his glory. And ultimately, his end game, if you will, is to make us more like Jesus. Remember, all things work together for good to those that love him and are called according to his purpose, in whom God foreknew he wanted to conform into the image of his own dear son. So folks, hang on to Jesus. We're going to get through this together. Let's keep praying and let's offer others the hope that we have found in Christ.
And the hope that we want to extend to our listeners goes beyond the boundaries of this radio program. Isn't that right? Especially on the weekend.
That's right, Dave. In fact, we have a weekly broadcast every Sunday. We call it Harvest at Home. It's a special message that I'll be giving to all of the folks that want to tune in and watch. It's like having church in your home. It's like having me over giving a home Bible study in your front room. And I'll tell you what, the Lord is blessing it. And a lot of people are tuning in. And I hope that you'll tune in, because what you can do is you can download the Harvest app for Apple TV or the Roku box, or get the Harvest app for your tablet or your phone, and you can watch us any way you want. But one thing I know a lot of people are doing, Dave, is they're inviting people over to their homes on Sunday morning, and they're having church in their home. You know, we want everybody to come to church. That's a great thing. But Jesus did not say that the whole world should go to church, but he did say the church should go to the whole world. This is a way to bring church, if you will, to your neighborhood, church to your neighbors, church to people that you care about. So join us for Harvest at Home this Sunday. Just go over to harvest.org. We start early in the morning and we go all day long, even into the evening. Hope to see you there.
Yeah, that's right. And again, you can get the details at harvest.org. Well, let's get into today's study. Pastor Greg titles it, How to Walk with God in 2020.
Well, let's grab our Bibles and turn to Hebrews chapter 11. You know, there's some amazing and somewhat frightening things happening with Iran. Iran should be of interest to Christians, because she is specifically mentioned in Scripture. Not every nation is mentioned in the Bible. For instance, there's no mention of the reigning superpower in the face of the earth in the Bible, the United States of America. However, other nations are mentioned, like Israel, very specifically. I think you can make a pretty good case for a mention in scripture of the great nation of China, maybe even Russia. But without question, Iran is specifically mentioned over in Ezekiel 38:5. So why should we care about this? Because the Bible tells us in the last days, go over to Ezekiel 37:38 and 39, a large force from the north of Israel will attack her. And many scholars believe, and I would include myself among them, I don't think I'm a scholar, but I would agree with their assessment, that Magog and Rosh in particular may be referring to Russia. But here's what I do know. One of the allies that marches with Rosh against Israel is none other than Persia, which is modern day Iran. By the way, Iran has only had that name since 1935. Up to that point, for centuries, she has been Persia. Iran has long stated her primary objective, which is to drive Israel into the sea, to wipe Israel off the face of the map. Here's why it interests me, because in my understanding of Bible prophecy, I believe that the rapture of the church will happen right before or right after the attack of Magog and Rosh on Israel. So if I see any hostility toward Israel, I pay extra careful attention. What is the rapture of the church? It's the moment when we're caught up to meet the Lord in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and we're reunited with loved ones that have preceded us to heaven. Some would push back and say you can't find the word rapture in the Bible, right? But for that matter, you can't find the word Bible in the Bible, and you can't find the word Trinity in the Bible. So there is the Trinity presented in Scripture, obviously, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but the teaching of the rapture, which comes from a Greek word, harpazo, is found many times in the Bible, that event where the Lord calls us up to heaven. Well, I bring this up because I want to look at a man that experienced what we might describe as a solo rapture. He was caught up to meet the Lord in heaven all by himself, and his name was Enoch. And Enoch is a fascinating character whose story is found in Hebrews 11 and also in the book of Genesis. Here in Hebrews 11, we read these words about him, starting in verse 5. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life, so he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. But before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. So Enoch was taken, meaning he was taking a walk with the Lord and he was caught up to glory. Maybe the Lord said, hey, buddy, we're closer to my house than yours. Why don't you come home with me? And he did. And then he's also mentioned over in Genesis 5, verses 21 to 24, which says, Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. After he begot Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had sons and daughters, and all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took him. Now understand this. Enoch lived in what we might describe as the last days. Now his last days were the days before the great flood. We too are living in the last days, but we're not waiting for another flood, because God will never judge the earth again with water, but he does say he'll judge the earth the next time with fire. So he was a last days believer in that sense, and it was a time before God's judgment on earth. Mankind was so wicked that God said of them in Genesis 6:6, I'm sorry I even made him, because his thoughts and intents of his heart are continually wicked. And so here's Enoch living a godly life in an ungodly time. And I don't want you to miss this, that the same spiritual resources that Enoch had, you have. In fact, I even say you have more. Because in the old covenant, they did not have Christ living in them. Christ did not yet come and died for the sin of the world. But the believer in the new covenant does have Jesus living inside of them and the Holy Spirit empowering them. So how did Enoch do it? Here's my primary point for this message. Enoch walked with God. And that's what I want to encourage all of you to do in this coming year. Just simply walk with God. You know, it doesn't say Enoch sprinted with God. You know, many believers have their burst of energy for a few moments and then they collapse in a heap. That's why we need to learn how to walk with God. To walk is something that speaks of making progress. You know, you're moving somewhere. It's not as dramatic as running, but you are moving in a certain direction. It means you're making progress. And I think as he lived a long life, 365 years, at the 150-year mark, he had made some progress, but he realized that he had a long ways to go. You know, this phrase, walking with God, is used many times in the New Testament. 1 John 1:7 says, if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Then 1 John 2:6 says, he that says he abides in him ought to walk as he walked. Then Colossians 2:6 says, as you've received Jesus Christ as Lord, so walk in him, built upon him, established in the truth. Galatians 5 reminds us to walk in the Spirit, and we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And then Romans 13:13 says, walk properly as in the day. Don't participate in the darkness of wild parties and drunkenness or sexual promiscuity or immoral living or in quarreling or in jealousy. So we say, okay, I get it. Yeah, I want to do that. But what does it specifically mean to walk with God? Let me sum it up this way. To walk with God means I cooperate with God. To walk with God means I'm in harmony with God. To walk with God means I'm communicating with God, speaking to him and hearing from him. My wife will go on long walks with her girlfriend. She'll say, I'm going on a walk, and she'll return literally 3 hours later. And I'll say, that is a very long walk. Well, we got coffee and then it was lunchtime. You know, so and I said, why don't you just call it what it is? Don't say you're going on a walk. Say you're going on a talk. Because then that's what happens. You know, you get out with your friends and you walk and you talk. And so, you know, I've come to this amazing conclusion. Girls talk more than guys do, right? Am I right about that? That's generally true, is it not? And the experts tell us it's because their brains are more developed than men. I don't know if I can dispute that. But in this case, the girls have it right. They understand that to go on a walk is to go on a talk, okay? So when we say go on a walk with God, the idea is still there. Go on a talk with God. Spend time with God. The objective is not just to get some exercise. The objective is to spend time together, to get to know one another, to open your heart to him. It's all about communication.
Well, Pastor Greg Laurie will have the second half of today's message in just a moment. But Pastor Greg, can you give us a verse to hang on to when the news gets us down? What would be your go-to section of Scripture, you know, when it seems like we're walking through the valley of the shadow of death?
Yes, Dave, well, you just quoted a verse from Psalm 23, which is a favorite psalm of so many people, and for good reason. It's just a beautiful picture of how God our Father is a shepherd who cares for us. You know, David was a shepherd, and he was probably watching his flock of sheep one day and thought, you know what, those sheep, those silly, skittish, fearful sheep are just like me. And then he wrote these words, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Listen, you're going through a valley right now. We all are. It's called the coronavirus. We're going to get through the valley, and you're not alone in this valley. The Lord is with you, so hang on to him.
All right, good encouragement. Well, let's continue now with Pastor Greg's message.
Now, here is a key verse in understanding what it means to walk with God. It's found in Amos 3:3. And it simply says this, and it's loaded with meaning. Amos says, can two walk together unless they are agreed? Can two walk together unless they are agreed? There's important shades of meaning in the original language at help here. It means a God and man walking together as a single unit, bringing me to my first point. Walking with God means I get in sync with him. I've told you this story before, but I only have 8 stories, so here we go again. I was scuba diving in Hawaii years ago, and I went to a little island off of Maui called Molokini, and it's a diving spot, and I was going to go for a 100-foot dive, 100 feet down. That's a long ways down. So I got my tank on, and I got my aqua lung, and, you know, all the goodies that you wear when you go diving, and we had an instructor with us, and so you have to descend down to around 80 feet, and then you cruise around and look at fish and different things, and you go back up. Okay, so I got down to around 80 or 90 feet, and I looked at my gauge, and I'd used up almost all of my air. Now, you can't just go to the top. Again, I have a BC, an inflatable vest. You hit the button and lift, but you can't do that. You could kill yourself, actually. So I went over to my instructor, and you learn little signs that you give underwater, and I use the universal sign for needing air. And I could actually, in the mask, in through the glass of his mask, I saw him roll his eyes, like 80 feet down. He saw him roll his eyes like, idiot. And he takes my gauge. I hardly have any air. So he gestures like this. And hanging off of his tank was an octopus, not a real octopus, but another aqua lung, another regulator on a short little hose, which meant I would now breathe his air. So I grabbed onto it, took mine out, was breathing off of his. But the problem was, because the hose was so short, wherever he went, I had to go. So he would swim forward, and I had to do this little shallow, and he'd be, you know, and I'd be kind of above him, just floating, burning up all of his air, you know. Finally, we went to the top, and we got in the boat, and he slapped me really hard. No, he should have, though. He didn't slap me. But my friend said, when you were going down, you had like 5 times more bubbles coming out of your regulator than I did. I think I was a little bit nervous. But I'll tell you what. I stayed in sync with my instructor underwater for one simple reason. If I did not, I would die. What does it mean to walk with God? It means I'm in cooperation with God. I'm in sync with God. To be in rhythm with God. To keep pace with God. You could compare it to singing. I'm very aware of music wherever I am. I listen to music in the elevator. Like I'll say, oh, I love this song. You're listening to a song in an elevator? I just notice music. If I'm in a restaurant and someone's playing there, I'll be aware of it. And if they're not very good, I'm all very aware of that as well. And if someone goes off pitch, I notice it. I notice when harmonies aren't right, it kind of catches my ear. And it seems like when people are off pitch, they often sing louder than other people. I don't know why that is, but they sometimes do that. So the idea of being in sync with God is being in harmony with God. I don't know if you've ever heard of Leonard Bernstein. He's a celebrated orchestra conductor. He was once asked the question, what is the hardest instrument to play? His response was interesting. He said, second fiddle. I can always find plenty of first violinists, but to find someone who plays second violin with as much enthusiasm, that's a problem, end quote. Okay, so God is the first violinist, your second fiddle, you see. God's the lead singer, you're the backup singer. God plays lead guitar, you're just rhythm. You know, we want to be in the spotlight. We want to be in front. We want God to back us up. That's not the way it works. To walk with God is not saying, God, here's where I'm going. You come with me. To walk with God is to say, Lord, where are you going? And I want to go with you. Getting in sync with God, walking in communion with God. That is the picture of walking with God. And you could take this word walking and interchange it with the word abiding. Because we already read at 1 John 2:6, he that says he abides in him ought to walk as he walked. Now, abiding is a different picture. It's the idea of planting something. Let's say you planted a beautiful tree in your front yard, and it looked great, and you're very happy with it for about a week. Then you thought, you know, I think it'd be better on my backyard. So you dug it up, took it to your backyard, replanted it. You really liked it there. Another week went by and you thought, you know, that was a mistake. I should put it back in my front yard again. And you do that again. And then you change your mind 10 more times. That tree is going to die. That tree needs to be left alone and needs to be taken care of. It needs to be watered and it needs to get its roots deep into the soil. So when we talk about abiding in Jesus, it means we sink our roots deep in his soil. And I'm telling you something, when you understand what it means to abide, you'll start seeing your prayers answered in the affirmative. God answers prayer three ways: yes, no, and wait. And we say, how do I get my prayers answered in the affirmative? Here's the answer from Christ himself. He says, if you abide in me, sink your roots deeply in me, and my words abide in you, you can ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. From the original Greek, it would go along the lines of Christ speaking, if you maintain a living communion with me, and my word is at home in you, you can ask at once for yourself whatever your heart desires, and it will be yours. Now we read that, and we say, okay, that sounds awesome. But wait a second. It's predicated on you abiding in him. Because if you're spending time reading God's word and you're spending time praying, it's going to change the things that you want in life. And you're going to find yourself asking for the things that God wants for you rather than the things you merely want for yourself. Number two, to walk with God means you keep your appointment. To walk with God means you keep your appointment. Back to Amos 3:3. It's also translated, can two men walk together unless they have made an appointment? Made an appointment. And you have an appointment with God every day. It usually is the first thing in the morning where you open up the word of God and see what the Lord has to say with you. Adam had an appointment with God every day as well. Remember, as the sun would be setting and the day was almost over, the Bible tells us that the Lord would show up in the garden. Now, I don't even know what that means, but it almost appears as though the Lord would take on some kind of a human form and walk with Adam through the garden. Maybe Adam would disclose some of the amazing things he'd seen that day. Lord, I got to show you these incredible flowers, or I want to take you over to this waterfall of this unusual creature that I just discovered that you made. Every day they would have that appointment. But one day the Lord showed up and Adam was nowhere to be found. And that's because Adam had sinned against the Lord and was hiding from the Lord. He missed his appointment with God. And God called out in the garden, Adam, where are you? Do you think God said that because he didn't know where Adam was? Hardly. I remember when I would play hide and seek with my grandkids when they were much smaller. And they would hide in the most obvious places. They would hide behind curtains. And the curtains would, you know, stop here and I'd see their little feet there. And I'd walk by calling their name, acting like I didn't know where they were. Or they would hide in a spot that I might even show them. And the second time we played hide and seek, they'd go back to the same spot. So you got to find a new spot. So that's us hiding from God. He knows where we are. So the Lord wasn't saying, Adam, where are you? Because God was confused as to the whereabouts of his son. He said it because he wanted Adam to come clean. He wanted Adam to say, here I am, Lord, hiding from you. And Adam did eventually come clean, sort of. The Lord said, did you eat of the tree that I told you not to eat of? And Adam offered the first excuse that we know in history. He said, it's the woman you gave me. It's not my fault, it's her fault. I take a nap, I wake up, a rib is missing, and she's here. It's a woman. And then what's a woman do? She passes the buck too. Hey, it's the serpent tricked me. No one wants to take responsibility. Don't miss your appointment with God each and every day. I wonder if the Lord would say to us, as he said to Adam, hey, where are you? I wanted to speak with you this morning, but apparently you didn't have time for me. You had time for social media or texting or phone calls. You were searching for Pokemon, but you weren't searching for me. And I looked it up. Are people still looking for Pokemon? Yes, they are. And my biblical exhortation to them is simply this: get a life. Okay, but I digress. If you walk with God, You need to make time for God each and every day.
Pastor Greg Laurie, with great insights on what it means to walk with God. Such good counsel today here on A New Beginning. Hopefully, you heard every word of the study, but if not, you can get a replay by going to harvest.org. Just look for the message called How to Walk with God in 2020, Part 1. Or for a permanent copy on CD, call 1-800-821-3300. That's 1-800-821-3300. And then Pastor Greg has a word about a special children's book set from popular British author Sally Lloyd-Jones that we're making available right now. We'll give you our contact information in just a moment.
Hey, everybody. I'm in studio right now with Sally Lloyd-Jones, and I'm looking at this amazing two-book set that we're offering to our listeners right now called Found and Loved, and beautifully illustrated, and all of the copy, all of the words are written by Sally Lloyd-Jones, and Found is based on Psalm 23, and Loved is based on the Lord's Prayer, two separate books. And right now, Sally's going to just read to you a little bit from her book called Found. Listen to this.
God is my shepherd, and I am his little lamb. He feeds me. He guides me. He looks after me. I have everything I need. Inside, my heart is very quiet as lying still in soft green grass in a meadow by a little stream. Even when I walk through the dark, scary, lonely places, I won't be afraid because my shepherd knows where I am. He is here with me. He keeps me safe. He rescues me. He makes me strong and brave. He's getting wonderful things ready for me, especially for me. He fills my heart so full of happiness, I can't hold it all inside. Wherever I go, I know God's never stopping, never giving up, unbreaking, always and forever love will go too.
So that gives you an idea of what you'll be able to read with this fantastic book, beautifully illustrated, written by Sally Lloyd-Jones, and you can read it to your child, your grandchild, your niece, your nephew, or some other child that will really appreciate what you are presenting to them. And Sally has a special gift in bringing the message of the gospel to the little ones in a way that engages their minds and touches their hearts. And we're offering this two-book set to you right now for your gift of any size so we can continue to preach the gospel and teach the Word of God. So order your set right now.
Yeah, that's right. It's called Found and Loved, one exploring the 23rd Psalm, the other based on the Lord's Prayer. Both books come packaged together in a protective storage box that'll look great on your bookshelf. And you'll also find a sizable keepsake print that you can hang on your child's wall to remind them of the stories. If you don't have children in the home, you might even take this book set to work. Leave it in plain sight on your desk and see what happens. It's a good conversation starter, and what better time to start that conversation than Easter? In fact, if you want to receive Found and Loved by Easter, call us to find out about expedited shipping options, 1-800-821-3300. 1-800-821-3300. Or write A New Beginning, Box 4000, Riverside, California, 92514. Or order online at harvest.org. Easter is the most hopeful time of the year, and Pastor Greg Laurie points out the pathway to eternal life.
Jesus Christ came out of an empty tomb to fill our empty hearts.
Who do you know who needs hope this Easter season? Bring them to hear the good news. And Pastor Greg's special music guest, Matt Redman.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul.
You know, Easter is the perfect opportunity to bring someone to church that does not yet know the Lord. 82% of the unchurched are likely to attend church if a friend, coworker, neighbor, or family member invites them. But here's the big difference this year. We're going to do it all online. That's right. Easter is coming to you, to your house, to your tablet, to your phone, wherever you want to view it. Just go to harvest.org to find out more. Let's work together to reach the largest group of people we have ever been able to make contact with this coming Easter. It's Harvest Easter Online.
Well, next time, join Pastor Greg for more insight on how we can lay aside the weights that slow us down and walk more closely with God. Good encouragement as we approach Easter. Tune in for a new beginning.
The preceding message from Greg Laurie was made possible by Harvest Partners, helping people everywhere know God. Sign up for Pastor Greg's free daily email devotions at harvest.org.